하는 소리에 나 wake up. 비가 오고 난 후 날이 깨 있어. 어제 골라놓은 옷을 dress up. 그냥 단정해 잘 몰라 make up 난 지금 서둘러 너를 데리러 좋아한다면 노란 해질녘 되어주고 싶어 멋진 연인 but I can't stop being so damn nerdy yeah. 지난주 같이 둘이서 본 드라마 속 주인공 저런 뜨겁고 불이 올라 타오르는 그런 love 보여주고 싶어 but 가진 게 난 없고 남자답지 않아 아주 가끔 너도 멋진 real man 때론 원할 텐데 친구의 남자친구 덩치도 좋아 등에도 업히고 wow. 그런 사진에 좋아요 누른 널 보면 나는 또 내 어깨를 못 피고 yeah. 사람 많은 지하철 안에서 너를 끌어안은 적도 머리 하얘질 정도로 키스하는 법도 I don't really know baby I've been feeling like a huge nerd lately yeah. 이런 내 멋없는 모습에 너는 왜 그렇게 날 보면 웃는지 원하게 I wish I really could change for the better for real. 어쩌면 너의 매일은 하지만 나를 향한 배려 가진 게 난 없고 남자답지 않아 아주 가끔 너도 멋진 real man 때론 원할 텐데
사랑은 그런 게 아니야 바보야
If you can't stop being you I'll just be a nerd for you too
이런 널 보면 행복한 애를 알잖아
If you can't stop being you I'll just be a nerd for you too That's not nerdy boy It's you just sweet
I've been losing sleep for you yeah. My feelings are free for you 하지 않길 바라본 후회만 우린 특별하거든 you and I
What is up, team? Hopefully you can. Oh, you can hear me. Okay, my name is Janie. This is, this is Janie, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm here today with an incredibly special, super special, the most special guest.
Gosh.
My best friend, Sky. Sky, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Sky. I'm also here with Janie in the studio today. And we're very excited to have a conversation.
You'll never guess what it's about. Okay, so today we went and saw the new Hunger Games movie.
Absolutely bonkers, actually.
Blew our collective minds.
And we do understand that this movie has been out for probably less than 24 hours. However, I hope that if you are listening, you're prepared for one, spoilers, and two.
Of the entire movie.
Exactly. Basically, this is just a conversation that we would have as friends.
Right.
After seeing the movie.
After seeing the movie.
And having our minds blown.
Exactly. And so if you don't want any spoilers, I would recommend turning us off and getting ready for bed. Because we are going to spoil the entire movie. We went and saw it with my roommate, Nina. She's from Arlington. Shout out to Nina. You're the best. We love you.
Shout out to Nina.
And they have this like really cute theater there called the Capitol Theater. And it's like historic or whatever. Tickets were $10.
Gorgeous.
I love small towns. I love Arlington.
Shout out to Arlington. Exactly.
Shout out to Arlington, Massachusetts.
So if you're in the area,
highly recommend the Capitol Theater.
Exactly.
Also, I will be playing close to no music this time around because we just have so much to say.
We have a time limit.
Exactly.
We have a time limit.
So many things to say. I would even say we're pressed for time. But the songs we will be playing will be from the movie. So
And buckling. On that note, the song's stunning, amazing, beautiful.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. Get closer to the mic. Don't leave me hanging like that, you know? But the... Okay, so going in, this is just a preface. I have never read the Hunger Games books. Don't be upset. I've never read the Hunger Games books, but I have watched all the movies. And I have not read this book either, because I didn't even know it was a prequel until very recently. Like, I had no clue what this movie was about going in. Like, zero clue. Partly on purpose, because I didn't want to spoil anything, but also, like, I had no idea.
Right. And not to expose anybody here, but I think the closest and the most recent exposure that I've had to anything related to the Hunger Games was from Wolfstar fanfiction.
Ooh.
Crimson Rivers. Shout out to Crimson Rivers if anyone is out there who has read that.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
I have to get on that.
You do have to get on that because it was written specifically for you, the target audience.
I do feel that. I do feel that I'm the target audience for that. And it's really crazy that I'm coming back to, like, dystopian YA after, like, so ardently being like, I'm not like other girls, I'm not going to read dystopian.
Right.
And now here I am.
Like, we started with Maze Runner this summer. We're going
ruined my life.
Head first into the Hunger Games.
Head first. And I'm loving what I'm seeing. Because, okay, first of all, we need to talk about Suzanne Collins. Because
exactly. And to go back to the overarching conclusion, Suzanne Collins did a beautiful job.
Yeah, when I saw her in the credits and it said executive producer, I was like, as it should be.
Credit where credit is due.
Credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know, again, until recently, and I was like scrolling on TikTok trying to gather information. She's a screenwriter.
She is a screenwriter.
Very apparent because... wow, movie was amazing.
Exactly.
And also, again, haven't read the books, but I've heard they're like kind of written in three acts, similarly to how the movie was three acts, and it's like, you know, rising, climax, and then falling action or whatever.
Exactly.
Huge fan of the three parts. I love a good part delineation because I was getting lost in the sauce in that movie, and I was like, what if they end the movie now? And like, I'm like, I have trauma from Into the Spider-Verse. Right. I'm like, what if they end the movie?
Another great movie. Shout out to Into the Spider-Verse. Make sure you watch that one as well.
Across the Spider-Verse? Is that the new
one? Yes, the new one. Across. New one.
Mm-hmm. I have like trauma from that. So like seeing the parts was very comforting actually, because I was like, okay, we're going to resolve all these.
Right, we're not going to stop after part two.
Yeah, exactly.
We need a part three for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was, wow. Okay, so Suzanne Collins, she ate it up. Every single detail,
so well articulated.
We were catching it.
I'm glad that you caught it because I was catching it.
We were practically screaming in that theater. Granted, there was like, for some reason, five people there. The theater was empty. And it was like us and a bunch of middle schoolers. And I was like,
no.
Surely.
And also, it was crazy to say that we were having reactions that somebody who maybe had Katniss Everdeen's cutout poster in their room would have been having.
Exactly.
We were on the floor.
And I don't even have that kind of bond with...
We had no context. We don't have bonds with these characters.
No.
Like,
I'm not even like Lucy Gray who? Like, I have no idea. I thought her last name was Gray. So I thought it was full name the entire trailer. I was like,
that's
seems
weird.
A little aggressive.
A little strange. Yeah.
Right.
No.
So... also, couldn't shake that the whole movie. I was like, it really seems like it's a first name, last name situation.
For everything.
But it's not. It's just her full name, Lucy. Full first name.
Lucy Gray.
Lucy Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a little disorienting, the whole movie, I won't lie.
A little bit.
Also, his name is not Cornelius. It's like
Coriolanus?
Something like that. Allow me to look it up.
Yeah. Another great detail. Was at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, like, that's
let's
not...
go. Should we try and go chronologically?
Let's try to go chronologically.
We can attempt.
Almost, would it be helpful to give...
Coriolanus.
Snow. Coriolanus. Snow.
Coriolanus. Ridiculous.
Right, so everybody write that down.
Ridiculous. It's going to be Cornelius for the rest of this,
unfortunately, yes. But you were saying that all of these characters are named after Greek?
Just like Roman names.
Roman names.
Lots of capital.
Exactly.
The Roman Empire.
Symbolism.
Like,
layered.
Also, I think Mr. Cornelius himself, that's actually like it's a Shakespearean thing where like it's like a tragedy question mark, but like the story very closely mimics like the rebellion of the districts and like the war and
I love that
when you know that apparently it's a little on the nose, but I was like, as an uneducated,
that's the point.
I wouldn't say uneducated, but like in this area
exactly,
I'm loving all
with
these morsels.
With zero context going in.
Zero context. Yeah.
Stunning. This is something that I want to learn after the fact. Exactly. You know, I want to watch it and then I want to go back and be like, wow, I could have spoiled the whole thing by knowing the lore on his name.
Exactly. Like, I know a lot of little details. Okay, so to start at the beginning, right? First of all, costume design.
Not even the... Maybe we should start with, like, a brief summary of, like, part one, you know, and then talk about part one.
Okay, part one. Okay, you're so real for that. Okay,
do you remember
part
one was called? Because
No, because we missed the first seven minutes.
We were like, surely there's going to be trailers. There were no trailers,
None at all. Mm-hmm. It started exactly at four.
The time we get in there...
We're a little disoriented.
Coriolanus Snow.
Yeah, I think you got it that time.
Oh, thank you. Sir is strapped up. His... Girly Boss sister.
No, they're cousins.
They are cousins. Tigress played by the gorgeous, wonderful, talented, amazing Hunter Schafer.
Truth.
Stunning casting.
Yeah, and they live together with their grandmama.
Yes.
Grandmama.
Grandmare, even?
Possibly. She certainly looks the type.
A grandmother figure.
Great grandmother also? Wait.
We don't know who she is.
She's old, and she's in their house.
There are
probably love
people
her?
Out there that know exactly what this relationship is.
I don't know if they're listening to this, though, so I think we're okay.
Okay, shout out.
Shout out to the real and true fans. This podcast is not for you.
Exactly. For the real and true fans, you're just going to have to sit through this, as we're basically people off the street that saw this movie and were
people
like, wow, this is crazy.
We are the people they're coming up to for the TikTok being, what song are you listening to? And we have to check our phone to see what song we don't know.
Yes.
We don't know what song we're listening to.
It's on shuffle.
It's on shuffle.
We wanted to see it because the trailer looked great.
Yeah. I heard it in a TikTok. I just started playing it. Yeah.
And Olivia Rodrigo's song was beautiful. So I was like,
the Olivia Rodrigo song at the end was so, like, I know she's, like, on a thing right now. And at first I was like, oh, they picked her because she's, like, on a thing right now. But no.
Her voice was, they picked
perfect.
Her.
Perfect. Perfect for the role.
Like, anyway. Almost to an extent where I was like, is this Lucy Gray?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, great.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm glad that
okay,
we're
wait,
on the
part
same page.
One summary. Okay, so Cornucopia.
Well, we could call him Corio at this point.
Oh, yeah, we're familiar.
Tigers. Exactly.
We're familiar.
Right. And he's still in his beautiful curly haired era.
Exactly. And let me just say, all of his costumes are tailored beautifully. So he is snatched at the waist for the whole movie.
And for a visual conception of what we're working with.
Yeah.
Like,
tall,
nice,
lean,
like,
blonde,
golden
platinum.
Blonde.
Platinum.
No, he was not platinum in the beginning.
No, he's pretty platinum.
No, I would disagree. I think it was more of a buttery yellow. Personally, like, he only got white hair at the end of the movie. He was a soft boy in the beginning. Check.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
No, don't worry. I'm pulling up an image.
Okay. I think it was more like golden blonde
I
curls.
Can't spell his first name, so they're really pulling up pictures of Snow White. Like, that's not what I meant.
And ironically, Rachel Zegler is Snow White.
I think that's why.
And you know what? As a disclaimer, I'm sorry, Rachel Zegler, that TikTok bullied you, because you did a beautiful job in this movie.
She did amazing.
Regardless of what happens with Snow White, this movie, solid.
Because I do think part of it, the role itself is a little bit cringe in the sense that it's like kind of this like relentless optimism, like I can win, you know. But I do think she nailed it perfectly, so that it doesn't feel overbearing.
Exactly, and almost to an extent where you're like, is she playing him like a fiddle? Is she lying?
Is she lying?
Because like sometimes
she did a great job of that. Like, I was like, is she
so much plausible deniability? Another thing that we'll get to, hopefully, if we have the time for it, is the consistency of their characters.
Don't worry, we'll make time for
that.
Okay, great.
That's
important.
Wonderful.
That's
we'll get there. So let's finish with this brief description.
We'll never get through
of part one.
Oh, guys, it wasn't me. Okay, so basically, I'm just gonna bang through this really quick.
Exactly.
Okay, we get into the theater. Cornelius is on his way to a ceremony. The ceremony is the reaping. The reaping is when they like pick people from the 12 districts, one a boy and girl from each, to be in the Hunger Games.
And also, important note, this is the 10th Hunger Games that's ever
happening. Annual Hunger Games.
Exactly, that's ever happening.
Yeah.
The guy that is running it is also one of their main professors.
He's the dean of the school that Cornelius is enrolled in.
Exactly, and he was like, okay, get this. I know that all of you guys are like our top academy students, and we all thought that the person, basically I think like the top person with the best grades was supposed to get like a scholarship, like a award. His friend, Sejanus. So he... Our main
guy. They're not friends yet.
in part
no,
one.
No, they are friends.
Well, I don't think they...
No, so Janice and him were supposed to be besties, I thought.
I was kind of reading it in the beginning. Okay, so here's the thing. I was really trying to catch up. Because at first I thought, like, because they were, like, in... They were, like, poor in the house, right? Because they're, like, yeah. almost being evicted. Yeah. So I was like, is he, like, from the districts? Like, what is this? And then evidently it became clear he was not, right? But he's, like, not on the same social standing as the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And so Janice also is, like, from the districts, right? He's from District 12. But for some reason...
No, he wasn't. He was from District 8.
District 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's from the districts, right? But then his dad got really rich after the war with the districts.
Yes.
And now he's, like, a part of this academy, and he's, like, has so much money that he's sponsoring this award and all of yes. this. But
basically, when you have the... Okay,
the feelings that he, like, Snow didn't want to be associated with Sejanus in the beginning, because Sejanus is all, like, the Hunger Games are evil and terrible and bad. And Cornelia is like, I don't want no part in your stirring the water. That's the vibe I got.
Interesting. I think that was the overall vibe, but I did think that they were friends.
At the very beginning, this is what I was thinking. They definitely become friends, though.
Right, but it would be weird if you're like, ooh, I don't really like how you're outspoken against the Hunger Games, and then you become friends.
That's why he's such a snake in the grass.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get to that. Maybe they were friends, and we don't know. Maybe exactly. they weren't.
It would have helped if we saw those first seven
All that
minutes,
matters is that one of his classmates, his family is so wealthy that they're funding this Plith Award.
Yeah,
And
Cornelius is supposed to win it.
And he's supposed to win it because he's the smartest boy in the school.
But they get to the reaping. It's they wear these super sleigh red uniforms with
skirt.
Like these like it's
Still
like a blazer, a superstructured mm-hmm. blazer, and then like a straight leg pant. But there's also like this skirt on top of the pants,
pleated.
But it's like pleated, Kneeling. Super nice, and it's like
draped,
cuts on the side, so it's not a full skirt around. Mm-hmm. But it's got some beautiful movement and shape.
Exactly. And the shape is just rectangular.
Rectangle on rectangle on rectangle.
It's stunning.
But it looks good on everyone.
Yes.
Looks good on everyone.
And the color was gorgeous.
Yeah. We also need to talk about color symbolism later. And you're looking at that clock with panic. So am I. But
yeah.
we'll get
okay,
to it.
Okay, we'll get Basically, we'll get right. So they pull up and they're like, by the way, buddy, actually, you're not going to get your money scholarship thing because, in fact,
surprise. Basically, the Hunger Games are televised, right? And the whole point of the Hunger Games is that people watch them, but people haven't been watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Game Master, she is like, I came up with a super fun idea. All you top Academy students are now going to be mentors to the tributes coming in,
mm-hmm.
which is something that happens in the regular Hunger Games. They all have mentors who, at that point, are past
right, and
victors.
When we're talking about the regular Hunger Games, we're talking about Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah, Katniss Everdeen.
Exactly.
Edition.
So
yeah.
One of the nice parts, and I'm sure people who actually read the books were, like, and very reasonably so, very
yeah.
justified,
yeah.
probably going so crazy, so excited, because you could very clearly see the way that this
it's
first prequel sets up the development of
the
all
act
of the other
Hunger Games as we know it.
Exactly.
Exactly. It was very exciting to see
mm-hmm.
all of those things, and so they announced that and. Mr. Snow is peeved.
He's
like,
upset.
Are you kidding me?
I
worked so hard for this award. This award was going to be the only thing.
We're almost getting evicted. Do need this money.
He needs the money.
Yes.
But, like, no one can know that he needs the money because his family is supposed to be rich. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the first 7 minutes they described why they were poor. None of our business
right.
at this point.
Something happened to his mom and
yeah.
dad.
And the dean comes in, played by Peter Dinklage, and he is like, he's down in the dumps. I'll tell you that. He comes in and he's like, the Hunger Games suck, but, like, you guys, we have to do this now, and, like, I hate this job. And, like, it's not quite like that, but it's basically like that.
Yeah.
And then he announces, they go through the reaping, and he assigns.
And also the technology was, like, weirdly, like,
yeah.
like futuristic but mid-century at the same time.
Yeah, it's like the futuristic ideas but mid-century execution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they have like drones and they have TVs.
But it's like the drone is like a fan, pretty much. Like a flying fan.
A flying fan that you frisbee.
Yeah.
And then
with the glass bottles of water.
Yeah, we'll get there. And then the TVs are very like round, boxy, like 1950s vibes.
Very 1950s vibes.
And so all of these Academy
Dare
students.
Dare I say Art Deco.
Art Deco, yeah. All of these Academy students, they're sitting down. Very, like, yeah, you could definitely see, like, the Roman, Greco-Roman kind
Greco-Roman
of.
Greco-Roman, heavy on that, right?
So rightly so, yeah.
Mr. Cornelanus gets assigned Lucy Gray. And
right, and
at Lucy Gray's reaping, as we learn later,
the cut scene.
The mayor of District 12 has a daughter who was supposed to get raped, but he pulled some strings, and now Lucy Gray is getting raped. Did you catch that?
I did catch that, but I thought it was because the daughter was, Lucy Gray's boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, was cheating on her with the daughter. So the daughter was the one that put her name up.
Oh, no, you're right. That's right. You were right.
Yes.
That's correct.
So basically, a little bit of animosity between the girlies because Lucy Gray was not really supposed to get reaped, but this girl
also
had it out for her.
Lucy Gray, I think the reason she wasn't in the pulling initially is because she's not technically from District 12.
Yes.
She's from, like, a traveling group of people that happened to be forced to settle in District 12. And that's part of the reason, like, music is such a big part of her life. Yeah, her clothes, yeah, we'll get to that later. But basically, she gets raped. She gets up there.
Well, her clothes are actually very important in this scene because...
That's true. She's wearing a rainbow dress.
Oh, which, exactly.
And out the gate, sounds a little bit much.
A rainbow fluffy tutu dress. Sounds a lot, but...
With a corset, but...
Execution? Trust,
she wears the dress almost the entire movie.
Almost the entire, yeah.
Oh, beautiful work.
Shout out to the costume
designers.
I thought
they did the colors so subtly somehow, but like it just blended perfectly with the palette of the movie.
And I think I've seen an interview with the costume designer where she was like, worked meticulously.
The corset is hand painted.
I know.
Crazy.
With Katniss and Primrose.
Yeah.
So a little imagery, a little Easter egg.
Yeah. So good. That's on time. Like this costume designer ate it up.
She knew what she was doing.
No
and
crumbs.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So everyone Lucy Gray here, gets called up, and she knows it's the mayor's daughter. So she puts a snake in the back of her dress when
down
she gets up
the back
there.
Of her dress.
And then the mayor is like, slaps her in the face when she gets up on that stage. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't help me up. I got this. And the people start singing for her. Her
group, her friends.
They start singing for her because she is a performer in District 12, as we learn later. And so she gets up and she sings a song. Ooh, it eats. It's basically like nothing you could take from me was worth keeping.
Yeah.
Because she knows she's going to die, right? She's basically being taken by the Capitol to her death. And she delivers this powerful speech. And Cornelanus is watching this and he's going, interesting.
Interesting. Because right before this all started, when these Academy students are sitting in the Capitol watching the reapings happen, they were told that you're not here to make victors, you're here to make spectacles. No one is supposed to survive the games.
It's about the viewership.
It's about people watching.
Exactly.
And what are the games about? And they're saying, and this is where we're talking about characterization, consistency.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the movie,
his answer is that it's to keep the districts in line.
Exactly. Because the way that the Capitol fought this war with the districts, it's supposed to be punishment. It's supposed to keep order, all of those good things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which is crazy.
And so then to go now when you're starting to build off of like motives and like a necessity.
Oh, we forgot to mention. It's not that they won't get the Plith Award. It's that whoever does, whichever mentors the best will get the award.
Exactly. So best was kind of associated with
that viewership situation.
Viewership and will your victor win?
Exactly.
So it's less of like, okay, are you going to have the biggest, strongest tribute or are you going to be able to make them the most interesting person that people want to watch?
And as you can, if you can recall, there are certain districts that win every time. Like District 1, District 2, like they're just stronger and better because of whatever jobs they do or something
well-fed.
Like that. Yeah, literally.
Also,
they have just,
not starving.
Yeah, but District 12, they never win. They're never winning.
Right.
Until now.
Exactly. So he's watching this, Lucy Gray, very, very clearly making herself
a
public figure.
Yeah, she is stepping onto that stage and making history.
Magnetic.
And he sees that and he goes,
interesting.
Okay, I can work with this.
Exactly.
I can work
he's
with
a
this.
Little, he's a little unfaithful. Like, he's a little bit like, I don't know. But
yeah,
he goes
true.
Home and he talks with his cousin Tigress.
Yeah.
And she's like, listen, like, you have to imagine what it would be like.
She's his voice, not of reason, but of empathy.
Exactly.
Like,
the heart was there.
Yeah. She is the heart. She is his heart because she's like, girl, if I was Lucy Gray, I would be in pieces right now. And I would just want to know that I have an ally in the Capitol.
Somebody
after
who
everything.
Cares about me.
Someone who cares about
and
me.
And someone who thinks that I actually have a chance.
Right.
Right.
So
So Carlinus goes, okay, I can do that.
And what is so crazy to me, and when we're talking about characterization and consistency again, like overall, and just to get this out of the way, he is a bad person.
Oh, he's terrible.
He's a war crimes, as we know.
As we know.
But like to see the development of like, yes, he's a gorgeous, attractive person in the beginning, but like you also see so clearly how
the start.
He is, like, the fact that he's having this conversation about empathy with somebody that he cares very deeply for, and yet, at the same time, out of a necessity for survival, because he's always in survival mode.
Always.
But also out of pragmatic, like, foresight, he's going, I need to be able to manipulate this.
Exactly. He doesn't take it as, let me actually be empathetic. Exactly. He goes, that's how I'll win her over.
How can I use this to best benefit myself and my situation?
Exactly. So what he does is he goes to meet the train that's bringing the tributes in.
He's not supposed to be there, so he sneaks in there.
He sneaks in there. He does a lot of sneaking. Basically, he ends up getting put in the zoo because what the...
He brings her a flower. He brings her a white rose.
Yeah. What they are doing with the tributes on the train, they put them in the Capitol Zoo so that people can look at them before they go into the Hunger Games.
Exactly. So way, way before Katniss Everdeen's era of, like, coming into the Capitol,
doing
being paraded
tour,
around.
Like, doing all that.
Living in one of the nicest suites. No.
At this point, the Hunger Games is literally one arena. It's, like, one stadium. They go in there,
like,
and they fight to the death.
Arena.
Gladiator style. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They fight to the death. That's the Hunger Games at this point.
Exactly. It's supposed to be, like, a day.
Yeah. One day.
And people were supposed to be in the arena with them watching.
Yeah.
And all of these tributes are
like
basically
stadium.
Carted in like animal like cages basically and then taken straight to the zoo. So very dehumanizing. Very much like we are only here to watch them suffer. Yeah.
And now Cornelanus is in that cage with them.
Yes.
And
and you're like, oh, he's gonna be in so much trouble.
He's screwed. And then Mr. Flickerman.
Mr. Flickerman is out there,
and he's
like,
going,
hold on.
Who's that guy in that Academy uniform in there?
The bright red Academy
hey,
uniform.
Hey, you, in the uniform. That's so noticeable.
And Coriolanus, again, he's like out of his depth once more. He's like, what am I going to do with this?
He is stressed.
He, as I would be.
But then Lucy Gray grabs his arm and
she's
goes,
like, you better own this.
You better own this.
Yeah.
Do this. And he's like, you're right. Okay. So he goes up there.
Holds her hand.
Interlaced fingers.
Exactly.
Interlaced. Up to the camera. And... He introduces her to Flickerman and pulls this whole, like, hey, I wasn't told not to be here, so here I am.
And I just
like, really care about my tribute and want her to win.
Yeah,
so
like,
maybe
I wanted
the
to
other
introduce
mentors
her to the people.
Yeah. Wanted her to win. And so immediately Lucy Gray is winning the hearts of the people. She's interacting with the children.
They're complimenting her dress.
It's everything. And he's like, okay. And then he gets taken away by the peacekeepers, who are basically, like, the police.
Yes.
And he goes to class.
okay, yeah.
And the class, the architecture of the room was very interesting.
Right.
Like, almost like choir setup of
the
risers.
Court? This is going to be
a court,
Exactly.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
Very niche, like, reference. But you know in Harry Potter, I think it was probably, like, the third movie when he, like, uses magic outside of school and he's, like, too young or whatever. So he gets taken to court.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally like that.
It's literally like that.
So the professor's in the middle of the stand and then there's,
like, everything tiers. Is white.
Yes. Everything is white and they're all in
this
there.
This white and red dichotomy is, like, huge. It comes up all the time. Especially in the clothing and in the sets, obviously. I mean, where else would it come up?
And also, like in the roses, the white and red roses.
Yeah.
Snow, the fact, like, all of the snow metaphors.
It's big.
Beautiful.
Because I think what really happens is, like, it starts out as, like, red being the color of the Capitol and, like, the color of badness, right? Because Cornelius is wearing the uniform. Like, also, the Game Master has on that red and white.
Color of power.
Exactly.
Like,
and I think, but what the transition is like, white becomes that symbol
of power.
Yes, it
comes to replace that.
Yeah. Because, like, at the end, he's wearing red. But, like, I feel like
his hair is
white. So white.
And also, you know that one dress that the game maker's wearing somewhere in the middle of the movie where it's, like, red fading
into
white?
Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
With the
very,
red,
very
with the
interesting.
Red gloves, the lead patent, like, not
gorgeous
patent,
gloves. It almost looks like
latex.
Your hands are always bloody.
Yeah.
But it was, no, I loved
it. Big on that. I think that's big. I
intentional.
Agree on that.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, everything about this movie is intentional.
And I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
This was a cinematic experience.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, the plot. Okay, so the Game Master comes in and is like, sir, you're screwed. Well, actually, that's not what she says. She says, your little stunt got us a lot of publicity.
I'm interested to hear why you did that. Exactly. He was about to get in trouble with his teacher, and then the game maker comes in and is like, yeah, you actually got us a few more views. Like, what's going on?
Very also, like David Dobrik, you've got us a few more views. Like,
yeah.
What other prank can we pull now?
Exactly. Like, and so she was also like, okay, girl, go home, write me
a proposal.
A proposal about how we could possibly get more viewers.
And this girl in his class is like, we work on everything together. So actually, we came up with this idea together. So
And she's just writing off his coattails. And I understand he's evil and the plans he's putting together, that proposal is very evil.
But it was also
But
like,
in that moment, I was like, girl, shut up.
Back off.
This is not your idea.
Yeah,
don't
academic
steal his
integrity.
Idea. Literally academic integrity where.
Right.
So I would have blown up. Well, she gets
we'll get there. So
don't worry. She gets what she can't got, you know, like
right. The punishment for plagiarism is actually death.
Yeah. Death by snake.
Death by exactly. So
and also good thing to know, the dean has serious beef with Snow. And
yeah.
It's not clear at this point as to why.
Why?
But it shortly becomes clear.
At the end of the movie.
But there's like a little reveal that he has like his, Snow's father used to be his best friend.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, obviously there was something there. Because this dean is like the creator of the games.
Yes.
But obviously it's taking a toll on him.
A huge toll.
Like a morphine toll. Like
yeah.
Like he, the whole time he's like drinking from these little vials and you're like, ooh.
All right. Yeah.
Yay. But yeah, so he writes the proposal.
Well, no, because I think, does he go to, I think he goes to lunch. He's talking to Sejanus.
Ooh, he's talking to Sejanus. And he's like, Snow is stealing food to bring to Lucy because she asks him like,
to bring them food because they haven't eaten since the reaping.
Since the reaping, which is at this point been at least a couple of days.
Yeah.
And Sejanus is like, what are you going to do with that food? Are you going to like give it, like throw them scraps? Like what's wrong with you, right? And Snow is like, listen, dude. You can't help them if they're dead.
Yeah, right. So if they die before they get to the arena, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Because Sejanus is like, this is completely opposite to his moral compass.
Yes.
He is like stewing with like hatred
guilt,
and all of this.
Remorse,
like,
everything. And because, also his tribute is from his home district.
Yeah, they know each other.
They were classmates.
Yeah, exactly. So he is like, he is having a tough go of it.
Right.
But Snow is like, if you really want to help, if you really want to make a difference, this is how.
You would at least try
at
what
least
you
try.
Could do right now.
At least try to keep him alive.
Yeah.
This is the least you could do for him, right?
Exactly.
So then they both take the food. This scene I thought was fascinating. So they're in a cage at a zoo, right?
Yeah.
And Sejanus first goes up with the food, but the way he offers Marcus his tribute, the food, is he takes
it
the bread in his hand and holds it through the bar,
I
and it's like, here,
too.
Here, like, I have food for you,
Which
and it's like
so much
feeding
worse.
Him like an animal at the zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, Snow goes up to the bar, hands Lucy the food, both hands, packaged in the napkin still, and gives it to her, and she holds it and then gives it out to people.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, when Sejanus put his hand to the bar with that bread,
I was like, immediately
like
crimes.
Repulsed. Like,
yeah, listen, yeah.
Gut
I wouldn't
reaction.
Take it.
Oh, gut reaction.
You offended me, actually.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm offended.
So now all the mentors are going to visit their tributes to be like, oh, look, I can also do this. And Snow is talking to Lucy, and Lucy Gray has her counterpart from also District 12. What's his name?
It
starts with a J, right?
Jessup,
yeah. And so she's sharing the food with him, and Snow is like, are you going to be sharing everything with him? Because you...
Like, we're trying to preserve.
Win means one, okay? Like, it's gonna be...
And when we're talking about self-preservation,
And
here.
She's like, I don't want to hear it, okay?
Yeah.
We came in together.
He looked after me in the train.
Yeah. And he got... So there's, like, when they open the train doors, all these, like, bats fly out. And she says that, like, while they were on the train, he, like, stayed awake the whole time to, like, keep the bats off her. Because they were, like, biting people. So he has, like, a bat bite mark on his neck.
Yeah. And it's slowly getting infected.
And it's really gross, actually.
Yep.
And so they share... She also, like, He brought more food for her than Sejanus brought for his guy.
Exactly.
But
she brought, like, two sandwiches and, like, a cookie.
Yeah, but she's eating it, and she looks at him, and he's like... That was his lunch, and he didn't eat lunch, and he has no money now. So she gave him food, and she was like, dude, what is up with the capital? I thought they had a lot of food here.
Yeah,
like, what is going
why
on?
Are you hungry?
Exactly.
I know I'm hungry. Why are you hungry?
Exactly. And then while they're having this conversation... this other girl in the class who super sucks. She sucks so much.
Yeah.
She is like taunting her tribute through the bars, and the tribute goes like
berserk, grabs the glass bottle of water, smashes it against the bar, and kills her.
Yes.
And it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. This is the first person that Snow is up close and personal with as they die.
Yeah, as they die.
Snow is
dying in his arms.
Exactly. Snow is over this girl's body. She's bleeding out.
Yeah.
And the peacekeepers shoot into the cage, kill...
Because it's crazy also because he's holding her body and he's like, we need help, help. She's like, help. And then instead of coming to help, the peacekeepers literally just mow down. They just shoot into the...
So they killed the tribute that killed his classmate.
Crazy.
And
this is like Snow's kind of first time being like, that frazzled. Was messed up.
Yeah.
Like you could see it on his face. He's like, that was bad.
Something bad happened and I was right there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
So that's kind of like part one, right?
Yeah, because the next... they have like basically the first... part of this movie was like prep work before you even get into the arena.
Right.
So they also...
I feel like part two is just the games though.
Exactly.
Right?
So I think just to like speed run the last few like things that happened, they have to do like they wanted to collect stuff about their tribute so that they could like strategize.
Oh yeah, they get
so
some time
like
to strategize.
They were supposed to like...
But also the timeline for these Hunger Games is so much quicker. It's basically like you have one day, strategize, look at the arena, next day we're fighting.
Exactly. So they have like this thing where they're sitting down at these tables and they're like, okay, like what is cool about you? Like what should we know about you?
What's
things
cool
like
about
that.
You?
Exactly. And a lot of these tributes are very, very against everything
obviously.
Why they're there.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And a few of them obviously not gonna make it from the beginning. One of the girls has like tuberculosis.
Sick.
One of them is like 8.
Yes.
Like a baby.
One of them is 8. One of them is infected.
Missing an arm.
Yeah.
The guy with the bat bite has the bat bite.
Yeah. Not looking good.
It's
and
not looking
so
good.
Lucy Gray is also here and she's just like, okay, obviously things aren't looking great, but I need you to have faith in me and actually believe
that
you can win. That I can
win. And Cornelius wants her to sing again because he's like, we need people to like you so that they
send
you money.
They're preparing for their interview also.
Exactly. Because basically part of the proposal that Cornelius submitted was to have people submit money so that you could send the tribute's gifts in the arena.
Exactly.
Which manifests
he wanted it
in
to be like, okay, now
Hunger Games.
People are invested in watching because they have a favorite tribute. They're donating,
so
they're investing
basically
in them.
He created a fandom for the Hunger Games.
Exactly.
Which is crazy, but in
smart,
his mind,
but terrible.
He has to do everything possible to get this award so that he can help his family.
However, he is solely responsible
for the Hunger Games
crimes that happened because of
he
Hunger
is
Games.
Single-handedly responsible.
Single-handedly,
for the Hunger
exactly.
Because at this point, the Hunger Games is dying out because of him. Doesn't die out for another 65
until
years
until Katniss comes, and then he gets overthrown.
Katniss is in the 75th Hunger Games.
Exactly. So basically, when he's old and gray. Is
literally
when he gets overthrown. Not that the games die out. He makes an industry.
Yeah, there's technically 76 Hunger Games too, because there's a quarter quill.
Yep.
Don't know what that means, by the way.
Also don't. No.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page about that.
Okay, so we have like 20 minutes left.
Okay, we'll speed through the rest of this summary, and then we'll get to talking for the real stuff. Okay, so basically, she's in the Hunger Games. She sings again about her ex-boyfriend, and everyone loves
her.
She loves it.
She's racking in the money.
They go to the Hunger Games.
They go to view the arena,
and it gets blown up by rebels, which is, like, very bad. Some people die, and Snow gets trapped under this thing that falls on him, and instead of running away and escaping with her life, she stays back and helps him.
Yep.
He then is like, oh, my God.
Sejanus' person escapes, though.
They catch him later, though, and
make a show of him.
It's really bad. So Snow is in the hospital and is like, oh, my God, I owe her my life. She could have run away and been free, but she didn't. She stayed behind to help me.
So now he's like, okay, maybe I do kind of care.
Wait, what are we?
Stop.
And then,
like
from this moment, there's chemistry. There's chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But
he goes to visit her like one last time, like at night, though.
Yeah, remember to give her the rat poison.
Yes.
So in his mother's compact, both his parents are dead, by the way. In his mother's compact, he puts rat poison, and he's like, if you can't even breathe this, like, don't look at it, don't touch it, don't breathe it in.
Yeah.
But it will kill anyone that you need it to, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't take this. It's cheating, also, obviously.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to cheat.
But he also goes to the arena before the Hunger Games to look at it post-blow-up. And it's, like,
there's the tunnels underground opened up.
Before, it would have just been like a free-for-all. You're in, like, nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. But now,
the
terrain is completely different.
There's structures. The ducts are open. The underground tunnels are open. Like, there's a lot going on. So he goes to her with the rat poison and is like, I looked around. There's tunnels underground. If you can hide there.
Like, get there.
Get there. Hide there the whole games. And then you'll win. And then we can be done with this. And I saved your life. You saved mine. Like, you can be free of this, right? And she's like, okay, will do. And he's like, don't take Jessup with you because only you, only one person can win. So you're going to have to kill him if you bring him in there, right?
Exactly.
So there's like, she gets that. She gets the point. She gets the hint.
Yeah.
They're in the Hunger Games now. Bam. Immediately, they're running. And she, first thing, is looking for Jessup. And Snow is like, oh my god. But first thing, she's looking for Jessup. She manages to find him. She takes him. They go into the tunnels. They're hiding. But something is very wrong with him.
He's ill. Like, at first, you're like, this man is going to die of sepsis.
He's super paranoid.
Septic shock. Like, yeah. He's done
looking
for.
Ill. Turns out he has rabies.
Yes.
And he attacks her. They're fighting. Snow helps her out by sending water. He makes Jessup's mentor send the water.
Yes.
When you get rabies, you're scared of water. How does that even work?
I don't know. But Nina caught on.
Yeah,
really
Nina,
quick.
Nina caught on to that. Yeah.
Lucy Gray. Like, also, there's like a little group of people that have become allies, and they're like hunting people down. They're also looking for Lucy Gray specifically.
Yeah, because Lucy Gray has been the fan favorite, and everyone else is suffering because of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So they're like, we need to get rid of her, right? So basically, it. People dwindle down. Mm-hmm. It's now Lucy Gray she doesn't attack anyone directly.
No, she's running.
She is running and hiding for the entire game, pretty much.
Because basically it starts, the whole thing where people rush the arena happens. She's looking for Jessup. She gets Jessup. They're kind of being chased. They run down into the tunnels. They end up in this side room. No one else is able to get in after her because they're like, if we peek our head through the tunnel that they use, she'll just try to like smash her head in, right? So they're left alone.
Yeah.
And,
But
then she has to leave because Jessup is following, like chasing her.
Yeah.
And now they're in the middle
of the arena.
Out
into the open. Yeah. So Jessup then passes away after the whole water incident. Not from the water, but it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Most of the tributes are kind of done for now because that gang is going around and getting everyone.
Yeah.
They're trying to get her, too.
But she runs into, like, this open air duct.
Yeah. And she manages to hide for a little bit. Before she does, she poisons their water with the rat poison. But...
Oh, because before that, the girl from, like, the lumber district or something with the red hair, when they had caught Sejanus's tribute, they had him, like tied up to, like, one of these structures. And so she goes up there and kind of gives him, like, a mercy kill, almost.
Yeah,
she kills him down and then stays up on that ledge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is when Sejanus goes in after him.
Oh, yeah. Sejanus sneaks... So basically, the Hunger Games are not supposed to last more than a day. So at this point, night is falling and everyone is getting bored. So they all go home and they stop watching.
Yeah.
But Sejanus sneaks into the arena to... put breadcrumbs on his body because it's like a District 8 thing.
Yeah,
to
it was
like,
kind of like to pay respects and also like when...
Because it's bad for that guy that died.
Yes.
So he puts the breadcrumbs on his body, but the game master sees him and goes to Snow and is like, you gotta go in there and get him out.
Exactly. We
and Snow
cut
is
the
like...
cameras. We're not supposed to.
Me? Why me? Because... he's like, send in a peacekeeper. Like, why does that have to me? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like...
And she's like... He's not going to listen to a peacekeeper.
He's going
to
run away.
To you.
He's
going to
run
listen
away.
To you.
Yeah, exactly.
Get in there.
Go
so, but as you can recall, Stadium's full of murderous tributes.
Who are very, very angry that they are there.
And who's very aware that he put them there.
Exactly.
So he sneaks into the arena. So high tension. He manages to get Sejanus, and he talks to Sejanus, and he's like, listen. Sejanus is like, no, like, I can't leave. And Snow is like, listen, do you want to make a difference or not?
Such a crazy conversation.
Use your father's money. Make a difference.
Listen,
outside.
If you die here...
What is it going to do? The only way you can make a difference is out there, right? So he manages to convince the Janus to it in a very intense conversation. And they're running out of the arena. They get caught by a tribute. Mm. And Snow actually kills the tribute.
With like a club, like rod-looking thing.
It's brutal. And he gets him, he knocks him out, keeps going.
Yeah. And they, the way that they do it was beautiful, because he gets two hits in. This kid's done. Like, he's not
on
back.
The ground, not
he's
moving.
He's not going to kill you. Like, he's not a threat.
Yeah.
And when Snow
but
comes
Snow,
in.
There's like a pause where he like, he's really stewing in it, and he goes again.
For one more. And you're like, you're done.
You're evil.
You're done.
That was the spark of evil.
Uncalled for.
Uncalled for, unprecedented.
Exactly. So they're running.
They managed to escape. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now Snow has, for the first time, really killed someone.
Right, and also he got cut when he was in the arena by that kid.
So the game
he
master
has to go to the game master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's very under the table, everything that just happened.
Exactly.
And the game master is like, welcome to the real world. Like, basically gives him one of those, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, this is going to make things a little bit weird. Because a mentor just went in and killed a tribute. Very crazy.
Right.
So they're covering it up on TV. It's the next day.
People are like, how did he die? Like, where's the footage?
We don't
and
know.
He's
we don't know.
Like, that is so
That's so
crazy.
How did that happen? That's so crazy.
He died here, obviously.
Mm, so crazy. So crazy.
Yeah.
And so basically, a lot of stuff happens.
But then the lumber girl dies because...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so she poisoned the water, right? When she was escaping.
Well, basically the group started chasing Lucy Gray.
Yeah.
And then Lucy Gray was like, oh my God. And then they... Yeah.
He
sends in all of those water drones.
Yeah, to help her.
Exactly. Because
the drones are really bad, so they just, like, crash into things. So
yep.
He helps her by sending her a ton of water, which, like, gets the gang off her back because all the drones
so
crash
into So
then
she's them. Able to get away, and they're like, oh, my gosh, how did we lose her? She was literally right here. And they're like, okay, let's make use of our time. Someone collect all the water bottles, and then let's go kill that girl that's sleeping on top of the structure,
right? So she poisons their water while their backs are turned. But instead of them drinking the water, the tuberculosis girl drinks the water and dies. And everyone is like, huh?
Yeah.
But she was already ill, so people are like, oh, she must have succumbed to her illness, right?
Yeah.
And Lucy Gray is having a mental breakdown.
A hard time.
Because she just killed someone she was not supposed to kill. Well, not supposed to, supposed to, technically, but, like, not at all
not
what she
intended.
Not intending.
And
her companion, the tuberculosis girl from her same district, is, like, grieving over her body.
Yeah.
And ends up gathering, like... placing together all of the dead bodies in the arena and tearing down the Capitol flag and laying it over them as a shroud. And everyone is like, and then he's like, are you going to punish me now? And it's crazy.
Yeah.
But then as he's doing this whole thing, the Gate Master cuts the feed and brings the news that the president's son was killed because, well, not was killed, has died because
from his injuries.
From his injuries from that rebel explosion when they blew up the arena, right?
Very much then, like instigating fear.
Exactly, exactly. So now everyone in the Capitol is like, oh, wait, I almost forgot. The rebels are dangerous. The rebels.
I forgot that we don't like rebels. The districts. I forgot. Mm-hmm. You're right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So,
intentional.
So intentional.
Yep.
So all that's happening, basically it's down to Lucy and the gang.
Lucy and the gang, yeah.
And so...
they're hunting her in that tunnel. They're trying to, like, scare her out.
Exactly. And the Game Master is like, in light of this recent death, I'm gonna go crazy and put in my secret weapon. Secret weapon? Giant can of snakes. Giant
These
can of
snakes.
These
snakes are also the same ones that were introduced to early on in the first part.
Yeah.
Where Coriolanus...
Because the Game Master has, like, a thing for, like, making weird animals.
She's the one that invents all of the mutts.
Yeah.
Remember the dogs that chase Katniss?
Oh,
she
those
invented
were
those.
Terrifying.
The snakes were the first ones.
Yeah, the snakes, basically, one bite, one kill. You're done.
Yeah. And so the girl that was trying to, like, ride off of Snow's coattails and be like, oh, I wrote the proposition.
She gets bitten by the snake.
The lady teaches us, and she's like, actually, the snakes only attack someone that they haven't been introduced to their scent.
Yeah.
And so if you wrote this proposition, reach into the tank and
pick it up. Snow hand wrote it.
Right.
So he sends all over the paper or something. Yeah. So obviously the Game Master knows what's up, right?
Yeah.
But Snow, when he goes to... So basically he hears when... Okay, so the Game Master's on the news and is like, I'm gonna do something crazy next, right? And Snow is like, oh shoot, it's the snakes, right?
Yeah.
So he goes to the game, he basically rips his stitches out, goes to the Game Master and is like, oh, can you fix me up? And the Game Master's like, yeah. And he uses that excuse to sneak a handkerchief that Lucy used to wipe her tears with into the snake canister so they won't bite her because they'll be familiar with her scent by the time they get there. So they drop the snakes into the arena in a giant can. Crazy.
Lucy Gray also uses the rat poison
to kill another tribute. Yeah. But, like, she dusts it in the air, and he just literally drops dead.
Yeah.
And everyone is like, wait, like, his mentor is like, what's going on? What's going on? Like, that wasn't
right. Did Coral, his ally, just kill him? Like, what did she do?
Yeah. So suspicious. People are starting to get suspicious.
Yeah.
And then the snakes come, and the snakes are going crazy. It's like a sea of snakes.
Yeah.
Crazy imagery. But who are they not attacking? They're not attacking.
Right. Because they take out the guy who gathered all the tributes.
Yeah, that was really bad. And that was really sad, actually.
Yeah, it was really sad.
He was...
Because when we were talking about, like, focusing on the right characters from the right time...
Oh, my God,
the right
it's 150. Guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, guys. Okay, so okay.
Okay, speed run. That's all you. Go.
Okay, so... And end of the movie, she wins the Hunger Games. They're back in the district.
They also don't get money. Like, they basically send you home.
Yeah, they send her home.
She was also supposed to die.
Girl, I thought this was all me.
Because this is so important. But she was supposed to die by the snakes.
She was supposed to die.
And she's getting covered by snakes. And they're like, why aren't they attacking her? And Snow's
the Game Master knows what's up. They know he cheated. And as punishment, they banish him to the districts. He goes to District 12 on purpose to try and see her again, to work as peacekeeper. He does see her again. They're in love.
He's falling in love with her.
They're in love. She's like, we can run away together. He's like, yeah, sure. Because they accidentally get entangled in a rebellion act. There's guns in the district. Not supposed to be guns. He kills one more person. And is there when a second person gets killed.
Yes.
Sejanus is also there with him in the district.
Sejanus trying to make a change in the district.
It's not working. It's not working.
Snow also records him with the Jabberjays.
Yeah, and ends up killing Sejanus.
So
he kills Sejanus, and Lucy is like, let's run away, not knowing that he's killed Sejanus indirectly, very directly, actually. And Snow is like, yeah, for sure. Still lying to her. But then they get out to the cabin in the woods, and she knows that he's lying to her.
Well, because also they're in the woods, and she's like, okay, wouldn't it be nice to be done with all of this? And he's like, yeah, you know, like three kills is enough for me. And she's like,
three.
Immediately tone shifts. Three people? What do you mean three people? I only know two of them.
Right. Exactly. And he's like, uh-uh. And from there, she doesn't trust him. You can tell. And so she leaves him in the cabin in the woods, and he starts to go crazy because he's like, she could tell someone, I could lose my
position. Oh, because in the cabin in the woods,
he's also desperate to get back to the Capitol because he has to get back to his family.
He was also given the proposition from the person in district. Yeah, where he was like, I'm going to send you to two and you could get back to the Capitol. Basically.
Exactly. So Snow left that behind because he thought he couldn't get it anymore because of the whole thing with the guns, right? But now he's like going crazy in
because
the woods.
In the cabin they basically have the guns.
Yeah,
the
they
guns
were being stashed
that
there.
Have his like DNA print or whatever, his fingers on it.
Yeah, they like explicitly say before they can track DNA, and you're like, oh, okay,
whatever. So basically, the last piece of evidence that is keeping him with Lucy Gray and keeping him from going back to the Capitol is
those
in
guns.
His hands.
Exactly, and he's like, what is going on? And he starts to go a little bit crazy. He's like very paranoid.
Well, because Lucy Gray also kind of pushes him there because he's like, oh my gosh, this is it.
She does it on purpose to see what his reaction will be.
That's the last piece of evidence that's keeping you here.
Yeah.
The only people that know are you and me. And he's like, yeah, but you wouldn't tell anyone. And she's like, for sure, no. For sure, no.
Exactly.
And it's already, like, she's weird, he's weird.
Yeah.
And then, like...
And he starts to get very scared.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is going on?
He's turning around, holding
that
gun.
She leaves to go, like, pick some... Katniss.
She's like, I'm gonna go forage Katniss. He's like, you said it was too early to do that. And she's like, well, you'd be surprised how things change so quickly.
Yeah, and he gets the heebie-jeebs, and he's like, oh no. So he thinks about it for literally 2 seconds, and then goes out after her, and is like, Lucy, like, where are you, Lucy Gray? And he can't find her.
Yeah.
And he starts to flip out.
Yeah, and he's in the woods searching for her. And earlier on, when they were in their honeymoon days, he had given her his mother's shawl.
Yeah, he finds the shawl, he lifts it up underneath, a snake bites him. He's like, oh my gosh, she did this on purpose. Because again, she has a thing with the snakes, right? And
he's like, oh my gosh, are you trying to kill me? Are you now?
He's going through all
screaming.
Five stages of grief.
Screaming.
Shout out to this actor. He did such a good job.
Like, before you were like, okay, he was scared, he didn't know what was happening. Now he is angry. And you're like, if he found her, he would kill her.
Yeah. No dialogue. It's basically just him and his face. And you're seeing all of his reactions. And there's no music.
Yeah.
It's just the sounds in the forest. And you're right there with him.
Yep.
He did an amazing job. But, man, so paranoid. He hears a noise in the woods, turns, shoots. It's a girl. He shoots a girl.
But he did just get bit by a snake, so it was a hallucination.
And you don't... It's not explicit that it's her. You can't tell.
Yeah.
And he goes to follow the footprints.
He finds,
gone.
Like, an earring or something.
Yeah. But not an earring we've ever seen her wear, really, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And
it
then
was like
he
pearls.
He hears her singing, but then he sees the Jabberjays, and he's like...
He's following footprints, but they stop.
Disappear
off the tracks.
Exactly.
And so is this idea that she literally disappeared into thin air.
Like, literally disappeared.
So if you've heard the Olivia Rodrigo song...
Yeah.
Everywhere, but, like, He can't find her.
He cannot
find her. He's shooting into the air after the Jabberjays.
So he goes, having now gone crazy, he goes back to the districts, goes back to two, and is like...
No, they don't send him to two.
They don't... Well, he's going to go.
Yes.
Right, but then they put him on that train, they're like, you going back to the capital, kid. Because the game master was testing him this whole time, and was like, surprise, you passed the test, I got you a pardon for life.
Yeah.
And now you're gonna come work with me. And
specifically
he's like,
me. You're going on to university, I know you don't have money, but you are now, like...
Sponsored by the Plith Award.
Yeah.
Because...
So Sejanus died, disgraced his family.
Yeah. But Sejanus' dad gives... Cornelanus the award under the guise that they were friends.
Yeah.
Not knowing that he literally killed Sejanus.
He was the one that turned him in and exposed him. Yeah.
And killed him very directly, exactly. I might say, which was crazy.
So now this is like the lead up where basically he's so rich now.
He's so rich. And also
he's right underneath the game master.
Asks him one more time, what are the Hunger Games for? And he answers, and you're like, oh.
Evil.
Because this is key. He says that they show the true self, right? And they serve as a reminder that everything is the games.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be the victor. You know what that means? He's thinking that, like, the true self is a self that comes out of self-preservation. That's a common theme throughout the whole thing.
Pure survival.
That, like, down that's to your when your truest self comes out.
Base.
Instead of the idea that, like, oh, self-preservation makes you do crazy things, it's like, that's the real you.
Yeah.
So, and there's also, like, this contrasting idea of, like, people have inherent good, something that Lucy Gray believes and something that Tigress, his cousin, believes. But he never quite gets there because he's going, oh, if this is the real me, here I am.
Here I am.
Let me just do my... We didn't do a PSA. Guys, oh, my gosh. That's so my bad. Okay, a PSA. Numbers to think about PSA. So much to think about. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending. A public message, service message from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio. That was crazy, guys.
That was a really fast read, but it was also very intentional with the topic that we were talking
about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Numbers to think about.
Wow. Good pick. Anyways. Let me do the station ID. This is Janie and Sky, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Radio.
Well, unfortunately, we didn't get to the analysis part of this conversation. We never would have been able to fit it in.
You're so real. We shouldn't have done a summary.
So, well, well actually, I don't think we couldn't have not necessary. Done a like, we couldn't just go straight into it.
That's true.
Anyways, just this was so fun.
Character-driven, beautiful.
Go
beautiful
watch it, and maybe I'll come.
Audio, crazy.
Oh, we're not here next week.
We're not here next week.
Okay, I'm just going to play the song. Maybe when I come back, a long, long time,
yeah,
we'll talk about this again.
Yeah. We'll end with Hanging Tree, which is the best song ever, possibly.
And Rachel Zegler killed it.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Beautiful. All right, anyways, enjoy.
Love her. Thank you. Bye!
Strange things did happen here. No stranger would it be. If we met up at midnight in the hanging tree, are you coming to the tree where the dead man called out for his love to flee? Strange things did happen here, no stranger would it be if we met up at midnight in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree where I told you to run so we both be free? Strange things did happen here, no stranger would it be if we met up at midnight.